So today we continue the message series called Flourish. Of course, at Easter we talked about, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, starting a new season also spiritually in our lives after we received him as the resurrected Jesus, that a new season is starting, like the spring, so flowers springing up and the sun is shining again and life is new. We receive a new life. And I decided the week after, let's continue to talk about that. And then through talking about spiritual disciplines and flourishing in our personal relationship with God, what does that look like? So we're discovering all these different ways that we can connect with God. The first Sunday we talked about longing, developing a longing for God. Last week we talked about meditating on Scripture, and today we'll continue with the message on prayer. And actually, we're going to do two messages on prayer, this one and next week. Next week we'll focus on intercession, but today we'll focus more on personal prayer, developing a personal prayer life. Not necessarily praying for yourself, because I think so often when we pray, we think like we have to come with this list of prayer points and things we want to see happen, and then we submit them to God and say, all right, you do something about it. But I think our prayer lives can be so much richer than prayer points. I mean, imagining if I would have date night with my wife, and we'd have a romantic dinner, and I would come with a list of things that I'd like her to do for me, and thinking that that's a loving and intimate relationship. It doesn't work like that, right? So with God, we can also have this intimate, personal, beautiful relationship, and that includes sharing what's going on with us and hearing back from God what he's saying, what he's doing, what he's seeing. And so we're going to talk about that intimate personal relationship with God and how to develop that. So the focus of the message today is that I'm inviting you to begin communicating with God in a more intimate, in a more personal way. So really, I think prayer should be all about intimacy with God. Just look at this verse in Scripture, in Psalm 27, verse 8. We'll look more into Psalm 27 later. But just picked out this verse. It's key to me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. That's a desire of God. That's what he's saying to us. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Lord, I'm coming. That's what we're going to do today. That's what our focus is for today, is the response, basically, to this call, to this invitation from God. Yes, I'm coming to you, and I want to communicate with you. I want to have this ongoing, personal, intimate conversation with you. Now, I know that prayer can be a little bit of a struggle sometimes. So we can't see God. I've never seen him. And I haven't ever heard him speak audibly. I've heard him speak, and I mean, there were times that I know that was the voice of God, that he was speaking to me through something, in something, definitely through the Word, as we discovered last week. But I haven't heard an audible voice from heaven, and probably you haven't either. And I mean, I'm already having trouble during this time. You know, instead of being face to face, so often we're screen to screen, and it's difficult to really have that personal conversation. So with God, it's even more difficult to have that intimate personal conversation with God, because we can't see him, we can't hear him. It's like a Zoom meeting with the other person on mute and with no video. But still, I believe that our relationship with God, I mean, he is different. He is supernatural. I think it can go deeper and more intimate than any relationship that we can have with any other human being. Even our children, even our partners, our relationship with God can go deeper and can be more meaningful to us than any other relationship with any human being. Yes, it will require some discipline. Yes, it will require some faith. Yes, it will also require an investment. Yes, there will be ups and downs, but ultimately, there's nothing like an ongoing, personal, intimate conversation with God the Father. And I think that Jesus knew that this is going to be different for us. So he gave us this really wonderful tip, and we see that in Luke 18. He says, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. We need to receive the kingdom of God as a child. Now, the last couple of weeks, of course, I spent every day, not every moment of every day, but at least every day, a significant amount of time with my beautiful 3-year-old daughter. And I've discovered again that I don't really need to teach her to be honest and to sort of make her feelings known to me. She'll do that instantly. I don't need to teach her that. She'll do that. She'll let me know if she's angry. She'll let me know if she's scared. She'll let me know if she's sad. And she'll let me know if she's happy. I don't need to sort of demand that. I don't need to teach her that. That just happens. And it's this childlike, honest, unreserved, and uncensored expression to me as her father. And I love it. The thing is, as children have not learned to pretend yet. And as adults, we're doing that. We're pretending. Maybe we're pretending even all the time. We pretend that we're fine. We pretend like we say something nice, but actually we think something mean. And there's some good to that, because if we would always be saying exactly what we think, that would not really help, you know, interpersonal relationships. I think there's a movie even about that, The Invention of Lying. But still, if we bring that pretense, that pretending, that mask, that we so often wear, if we bring that into our relationship with God, it's really, really disturbing, because God knows what's going on inside of us anyway, so we might as well just share that with him. And in that sharing with him, we develop an intimacy with God. So I believe that God is looking for that type of intimacy with us, where we get rid of all pretense, where we get rid of all fakeness, sort of. And when we come to him uncensored, tell him what's really going on. It's in that raw expression where we tell him what's really going on that we can also invite him to do a deep work inside of us. That's what I truly believe. When you bring your whole self to God, that also becomes an invitation. Lord, do something inside of me. I'm bringing to you what's really going on. Will you do something new inside of me? See, the thing is, God is not afraid of your raw emotions. I promise you, he's seen much worse. He's seen much worse than your anger, than your sadness and grief, than your anxiety, than your whatever's going on in your life, than your disappointment. He's seen much worse than that. And there's proof. It's the book of Psalms. David, King David, was this emotional guy who brought all his raw emotions to God in his prayers. And we're so thankful that we can have his prayer journal right in our Bibles. It's so exciting what's going on there. He brings it all to God, all that rawness. There's even a suggestion in there about his enemies, that their children may be smashed against a rock. That's not really a holy prayer request, you'd say, but it's this unfiltered, uncensored, emotional blurt up to heaven. And I'm so thankful that we have this book, because it really teaches us that we can bring everything that's going on inside of us to God. Any doubt, any fear, any anger, any grief, any moodiness, any depression, any complaints, any overreaction, God welcomes it with open arms. He's just happy that you're with him, and he wants you to share with him what's really going on inside of you. So let's zoom in together. That's a word joke. On this psalm, on Psalm 27. Let's just read through the whole psalm together and see how David did this in this particular psalm. It starts off here. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and they will fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. So it starts off with this general declaration of faith, of strength, of confidence. And that's good. It's where he starts off. And it's powerful in your prayer to God that you declare your faith in him, your confidence in him. And we'll discover in the psalm that there's actually a lot going on around him. But he starts off with this sort of faithful proclamation. This is not pretended. This is really what he believes. Now, he will go a little bit deeper. He will go in the next steps. He will go a little bit deeper than this. So he continues in verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing that I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. So he's honest about the things that are going on around him, right? There's trouble. He will hide me in a sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At this sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. So when he continues from that sort of declaration of faith, he now continues with this sort of intimate sharing with God that he's longing for him. He's longing for God. He wants to be in his house forever. All the days of his life, he wants to be close to God. It's this expression of longing for God. Now the next verses, he will get even more personal. Verse 7, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back to me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. This is the sort of personal interaction that God is looking for. And that personal interaction of like his raw emotion, the things that are really going on inside of him, that then leads to an invitation to God to do a new work within him. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things that I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. See, intimate conversation with God becomes an invitation to him to move us, to mold us, to really transform us, to change us from within. When we drop our pretense and when we come to him with an uncensored and completely honest, raw prayer, we open the door for him to transform us. I recently read this book while I was on holiday. It's called Dangerous Prayers by Craig Rochelle. It was a great book of some real honest and gutsy prayers. And the three basic prayers that he talked about were, search me, break me, and send me. And I think we need to relearn to pray prayers like that, dangerous prayers, with this invitation to God to really move in us, to transform us, to shape us through everything that's going on in our lives, to see it as a way of God to do a new work within us. I think it's only in that place of intimacy where we really give God access to transform us. When the mask is off and when the truth comes out and when we confide in him, the Holy Spirit can begin a work of transformation. And so lastly, David gives himself he ends the prayer basically with an assignment to himself. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. So here's how I would summarize the whole of this psalm and the lesson that we can learn from this psalm for our personal prayer lives. It's this. First, come with what's going on around you. Even though God already knows, he's still interested in you sharing it with him. So bring to God, you know, what is going on around you? What keeps you up at night? What are thoughts that really capture you? What are things that are happening? Just share them with God. Secondly, come with what's going on inside of you. What is it doing to you? Everything that's going on around you, what is it doing inside of you? God, even though God already knows, he's still interested in you sharing it with him. And sort of trusting him with your raw emotions about those things. But then lastly, invite God to transform you. When we share what's going on around, when we share what's going on inside, we can that turns into an invitation to God. Okay, right, give me a new perspective on the things that are going on around me. And give me, do a new work deep within me so that I can deal with these emotions a little bit better. That's what intimate prayer does. I want to end with just a few practical tips that may help you, you know, today already or tomorrow when you're going to try engaging with God in a more personal way. I really want to encourage you during this whole time of the corona crisis to invest time in your personal relationship with God through some of the tools that I'm giving to you. And so the first tip would be is make prayer a habit. Make it a habit, even if it's 1 minute a day, even if it's just a couple minutes a day, but dedicate scheduled time to God every day where you just come to him with what's going on. And even if there's not much going on, just sit silently in his presence. But make it a habit. Do it every day. Secondly, begin praying out loud. Somehow, I think it's so powerful when prayer goes further than sort of thinking towards God. And that's prayer too. I mean, I do that in silence often. I get to walk our dog every morning for about 50 minutes, half an hour, and I get to walk around in silence with God, sort of chatting with him and thinking about random other stuff, let's be honest. And that's good, that's okay. But there's something about saying your prayers out loud that has power. And the next step would be start journaling, start prayer journaling. Somehow when you then write those prayers down, they become even more real. At least to me, they become even more real than praying out loud or mumbling. Is writing it down. It helps me to engage in a different way. And one of the other upsides of prayer journaling is that you can actually read back what you've been praying for and see how God has responded to those. Another tip is use Psalm 27 or other psalms like this to as a model for how you can pray. That same progression of like starting with confidence, sharing what's going on, sharing your longing with God and inviting him to do a new work within you, and then ending with a sort of assignment to yourself. So maybe even this week, do this one exercise, is write your own psalm. Just start writing. Just write a model of how you want the progression to be, and then just start writing out your own psalm. It's so powerful. And lastly, but not least, don't just talk, but listen as well. Let's not forget, praying is not only talking. It's got to be 50% listening as well. You know, you want it to be a conversation. You want to embrace that silence and let God speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. All right, that's where I'll end today. Later in the week, I'll actually post an interview on Wednesday. I want to post an interview on our YouTube channel with a worship leader about intimacy with God. It's a worship leader and songwriter from here in Groningen that I'm going to interview about, you know, what intimacy with God means to him. You can watch that on Wednesday on our YouTube channel. And throughout this message series, I'll be recording more interviews with people in my network on the topics that I've just talked, that I'm talking about. So please continue to tune in there. And I hope that you'll experiment a little bit this week with personal prayer. And experiment with some of the suggestions I gave you for last week about meditating on scripture. And that you'll really dedicate this time during this crisis where you have more time to yourself. Experiment a little bit about how you can engage with God in new ways. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll help us to really drop our masks as well at the feet of the cross. As we lay our burdens down, we also want to put our mask of pretending, sort of showing you a different face than our true face in our prayers. Lord, when we are in our own little rooms praying, just with no one seeing it, with no one hearing it, help us to understand that we can be so honest with you about what's really going on inside of us, and that you're okay with that. Thank you that you're a good, good Father. That you welcome us with open arms. And that you'll give us exactly what we need. Help us to just cut out time also in this week to seek you in prayer. To express our longing to you in new ways. To invite you to do a new work within us. To come to terms with how we actually feel about what's going on around us. So that we can give you access to do something new. We thank you that you are inviting us into an intimate conversation with you and an ongoing conversation with you. And Lord, this week, again, we want to say yes to that invitation. Amen. Amen. All right, this is where our YouTube live stream will end. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope that you'll tune in again next week. Let me remind you that you can actually receive our newsletters, and to understand a little bit more of what's going on, you can also tune in, for example, to the Zoom link to be part of our breakout sessions. So if you want to know about Vineyard Groningen, just go to our website and then click newsletter and then sign up for a newsletter so you know what's going on inside of us. We're going to, still in preacher mode, that you know what's going on in our church and everything. We'd love to see you once we are back here in this room meeting again. Thank you for tuning in.